Welcome to the NJ Criminal Podcast.
All right, so I just wanted to do a quick update on the effect of COVID-19 on the courts in New Jersey. You know, we started this conversation, almost 2 years ago. And COVID-19 seems to be the gift that keeps on giving as it relates to the effect on people that have been charged with crimes in New Jersey. Most recently, we received two notices this past Monday from the administrative director of the courts, Glenn Grant. The first indicated that at least through January 17th, the grand juries can meet virtually. You'll remember that that started early in 2020 when COVID-19 first hit. They allowed grand juries to meet virtually. That had been challenged. It was determined to be constitutional. And at least for the next couple of weeks, while we have this spike in, I guess, what they're calling the Omicron variant, the vicinages have the discretion to allow virtual grand juries. Gotcha. Don't know if that will be extended or not, but that's no surprise. I had been hearing that perhaps the courts themselves would go back to virtual, and my experience has been that it's really being handled on a vicinage by vicinage basis as to whether or not we're coming in person or whether the particular courts are allowing virtual proceedings. The courts have been pretty accommodating if an attorney requests to appear virtually for whatever reason, but you know, there has been a push to get everybody back in court. The reality is cases don't really resolve unless prosecutors and defense attorneys are sitting trying to hash out a deal. If it's virtual, nothing gets resolved and the cases begin to languish. So, you know, there has been a push by the judges and the presiding criminal judges in each of the vicinages to get people back into court. But, you know, with the recent spike, hopefully things won't go backwards. What this most recent announcement or order states is that at least for grand jury purposes, they will be or can be virtual at least through the 17th of January. So that was the first update that we received this past Monday, January 3rd. The second related to whether or not healthcare professionals have to come in and testify. One of the things that we talked about a couple years ago when this all first hit was that the court indicated that, you know, certain healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, etc., were not required to respond to subpoenas. That provision had gone away, but the recent order that came out on Monday indicated that at least through February 28th, 2022, the courts have reinstated the suspension of the requirement for those healthcare professionals who are, you know, involved in responding to COVID-19 to appear for deposition or court proceedings, unless those depositions are appearances that are requested by the particular healthcare professional or are for some sort of, you know, presumably civil, time-sensitive matter related to COVID-19. So they're the two most recent orders that have come out that affect the courts related to COVID-19, and we'll have to just wait and see what happens over the next couple weeks and whether or not this spike begins to, you know, trend downward, and hopefully things can go back to normal. But, you know, from my perspective, although there have been Pettit jury trials recently, they still haven't had any jury trials where there are more than one defendant. And so, you know, a lot of serious crimes involve co-defendants. If those co-defendants are going to be tried together, those trials aren't happening. I actually have a trial scheduled for this coming Monday where there are two co-defendants. It's going to get postponed. And that's, you know, that's an individual that's been detained for 2 years, with most of that time being excludable due to COVID-19.
That is absolutely preposterous. They're at the constitutional limit for how long you can hold someone legally, right?
Correct.
And you're saying
in New Jersey.
Furthermore, you're saying none of that time even counts towards their. Yes. So at some point in time, unless the Constitution is changed, and this is where you can stomp on me for not being a lawyer, how does that not find its way in front of the Supreme Court someday in the future and they can't deny the ridiculousness of it?
Right. Can you explain this?
Just in a 3-minute synopsis, why I'm so freaked out and how I think that's the most disgusting thing I've heard in terms of how you might be treating the accused is in, pretending that every single minute since the moment this person was arrested, almost 2 years ago, and 2 years is a significant number, as you're about to explain, none of that, all that time's imaginary. It's imaginary because administrators may or may not have had their heads in their asses, and there was absolutely no plan to deal with this in a way where they could remotely approach the requirements of the Constitution in due process.
In January 2017, cash bail was eliminated in New Jersey. Criminal justice reform came into effect, and the basis for that was that there were a lot of people, mainly minorities, who were being held on very nominal cash bails that was found to be discriminatory. And so there was a change in the law, and cash bail was eliminated. And so in New Jersey, beginning in January of 17, if you were charged with a serious crime, the state had the ability to either ask, you know, that you be released and the judge could release you on certain pretrial conditions, or ask the court to detain that individual, you know, if the court found that they were a danger to the community, a flight risk, or at risk for obstructing the criminal justice process, the judge could hold them. Along with that came speedy trial rules. So the speedy trial rules said, hey, state's got to get you to trial within 180 days of being indicted, up to a maximum of 2 years. So the maximum, you know, amount of time that someone was supposed to be held or is supposed to be held in New Jersey is 2 years. And that doesn't count, you know, postponement requests made by the defendant. Okay, so if a defendant files a motion, that time's going to count against the defendant. But generally speaking, 2 year max. The problem is that once the court shut down in 2020 due to COVID-19, the court said, hey, we are going to, exclude this time. It's not going to count at least, you know, towards the 180 days. Didn't say it was going to count against the 2 year maximum. The problem you have now, though, is that a lot of people are coming up on their 2 year mark, right? And there's been court decisions that have said, well, if the state stands up, prosecutor stands up and says, judge, this is on the trial list. This person's been held for 2 years, but we are ready to proceed to trial. And of course, knowing that we can't because there's a pandemic, the court has the ability to extend that 2 year time. And so that's the problem, is now you've got people that have been sitting beyond their 2 year mark because the state's saying, hey, yeah, we're ready to go to trial, but oh, well, we can't because of this pandemic. People are sitting longer and longer. And like going back to the client that I have right now, who's been sitting for just about 2 years, there's a co-defendant in that case, and the courts aren't trying co-defendant cases. Too many people in the courtroom. It's too difficult logistically. And, you know, he's going to sit until either the law changes or we can pick juries without the fear that, you know, there's going to be an outbreak amongst the jurors.
Where's the line in the sand at the federal level? Because it's the language about deprived of life and liberty without due process and having a number out there in terms of what the calendar should be, discounting any extensions that are on the part of the defense.
Well, the problem
is there no conflict here?
Well, it's a constitutional issue. It's a due process issue. It's a question of whether or not speedy trial rights are being violated. Remember, somebody who has been charged with a crime is presumed innocent. That's the bedrock of our Constitution. And when a judge makes a decision to hold someone and detain them without bail, they only need to find that there is probable cause for that person to have been charged with a crime. Probable cause is a very low standard. It's much lower than proof beyond a reasonable doubt that is required to convict someone at trial. So these are individuals that, yes, may have been charged with a serious crime, but they're presumed innocent in the eyes of the law. There may be probable cause that they committed that crime, but probable cause is only a well-grounded suspicion that a crime has been committed and that this person committed that crime. It is not the standard, which is much higher, proof beyond a reasonable doubt, that's required to convict them at trial. So, the presumption of innocence is really going out the window with regard to individuals. And again, you can't even ask the judge to reconsider that original detention application unless there's a change of circumstance. And, I've had many, many, many applications that I've brought where I've suggested to the court respectfully that there is a significant change of circumstance, and those applications are routinely denied. So it hasn't really gotten a whole lot better for a lot of people.
It's kind of bizarre.
Sitting and that have been sitting for years.
It's weird to me because I definitely shouldn't say what I'm about to say, but it seems to me like this is a grand effort to hold people, but I've never seen more empirical evidence that they don't want to convict people how many people get released the next day? I follow the news in New York because I cannot believe it's not mainstream what's going on there on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much catch and release.
Right. Well, remember too, the longer somebody sits, what's the reality? They're more inclined to take a deal. And, prosecutors know that. I can say that because I was a prosecutor. And sometimes the deals get a little bit better and the cases get resolved. And these are individuals that, otherwise probably would have pressed for their trial. But when push comes to shove, certainty and finality is often better for both sides, and that's why plea agreements get made. But remember, people do have a constitutional right to a trial, and anytime they enter into a plea agreement, they're giving up that right. It'll be interesting to see what happens once again over the next couple weeks, and it feels like Groundhog Day all over again.
Right.
2 years later, from the conversations that we had when this all started back in March or April of 2020.
Yeah. And we probably did a half an hour on change of circumstance.
Change of circumstance, criminal justice reform, the whole
Which
nine
yards. Criminal justice reform, you had me convinced it was probably a good idea in January of...
Of 17, it was. It was. Yeah. And it was put into place
COVID
to solve
specific,
a particular problem. Right. And now, I think I even said, is criminal justice reform workable in light of the pandemic? I said that 2 years ago. So, look, hopefully spring will roll around and everybody will be healthy again and we can get some jury trials in. The question just becomes, once again, long term, how long can this go on for? The court said in March 13th, I think it was, of 2020, that the end of April was going to be the drop dead end date for excludable time. Excludable time has stopped for exceptional circumstances for the pandemic. The problem is that because of the inability for us to have jury trials, the courts can extend that 2 year mark for good cause, and they have, and they do. That's the problem. So you can call it exceptional circumstances. You can call it for good cause. The end result is people are sitting, people who are presumed innocent without their trial.
Well, they're collecting a lot of rent, somebody. I'm going to start buying prison stock. It's a good model.
Yeah.
I'll probably cut that part out. But this is such a, yeah, I can't believe it. I'm sick of it. 2 years in, it's all, you're right. It's the same, it's deja vu.
It is. I mean, I have.
Thanks again for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe anywhere you listen.